I want to spend some time tonight, Lekavid Matzae, Shushan, Purim, Katan, to talk about Amalek. What better thing there is to do is to talk about Amalek and to try to make two points. The first point is that the definition of Amalek is a relevant category. When it comes to analyzing Amalek, we're not talking about an ancient tribe. We're not talking about some event that happened in the far recesses of our historical memory at the very beginning of our peoplehood when we leave Mitzrayim at the end of Parshas Bishalach. We get attacked by Amalek, and what's Amalek? And it's not Kiyad al Kes Kam Melchama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Dor, that the Kisei is not Shalem and that the Shame is not Shalem until we're Moche Amalek, that it's hopefully at some point in the not too distant future where God will be whole after Amalek is destroyed. We're not talking about something in the past. We're not talking about something in the hopefully near future. We're talking about right now. And it's scary. It has tremendous implications. It's real. Touches fundamental, raw, emotional feelings that we have. It relates specifically to our assessment of what's going on in the state of Israel. It has to do with Arabs. It has to do with our definition of Arabs, of certain kinds of Arabs, maybe many kinds of Arabs, maybe few kinds of Arabs. My goal is not at all to get involved in a political conversation, but to show you that the definition of Amalek is halacha lemaisa, because it's going to engage us in very deep, raw, tense, complicated, hurtful, sad assessments of what's going on today in the world, particularly in the Middle East. So we want to start with the Psukim on page 1. I just xeroxed for you the Parshias in Parshas Vayishlach, where we are introduced to Amalek for the first time. Amalek is an enakel of Esav. Ve'ela told us Esav hu Edom, v'teled Adam le'Esav in Pasik Dalet es Elifaz. And at the bottom in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vateled La Alifaz Es Amalek. Amalek from a person becomes a tribe, and it is this tribe by that name in Shemos Yud Zayin, Vayavo Amalek Vayelachem Em Yisrael Berefivim. And we make reference to the story of Amalek again in Devarim Chaf Hei Zachar Es Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. On the second page, we come to Shmuel Aleph, where again we intersect with this tribe called Amalek. Shmuel comes to Shaul and says, you have to destroy Amalek. And I want to read the Psukim because I want to come back to this Pasuk in a very interesting way shortly. In Pasuk Gimel, the top of page 2, Perek Tesvav and Shmuel Aleph, V'yato lech v'yikiso es Amalek, v'acharamtem es kol asher lo, v'lo sachmo lolov. You can't have rachmanis on him. Vehemata me ish ad isha me olel va adyonek mishor va atzem migomo va adchamor. When it comes to destroying Amalek, you have to destroy everything. You have to destroy the children, the olel, the yonek, the baby, the little tiny babyla. You have to destroy the animals. Lo sachmo lolav, not just the adults, everybody has to be destroyed. And then we know what happens. Pasuk Hey, Vayavo Shol Ad Ir Amalek Vayorev Banochal. We'll come back to Vayorev Banochal. The simple interpretation is that they had a fight, they had a war in the valley. And then we know what happened, that he didn't fulfill the totality of his obligation, and he got into trouble. The point of departure for the complexity of the current definition of Amalek comes from a diuk in the Rambam that was made by Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Rabbi Kellermer already invoked his name. In 1956, over 50 years ago, Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a talk on Yom HaAtzma'ut in the Nathan Lamport Auditorium at Yeshiva University. In Yom HaAtzma'ut of 1956, the Jewish world was facing a crisis. These were the months that were leading up to the Suez War in the fall of 1956, and Rabbi Soloveitchik was panic-stricken. Rabbi Soloveitchik was worried that the world Jewish community is not doing enough to help there. It's called religionists in Israel. Just like the world Jewish community did not do enough to help Achenu B'nai Yisrael during the Holocaust. Rabbi Soloveitchik is extremely critical of the American Jewish community, of the world Jewish community. We were nowhere, we didn't do enough. And in a sense, he's critical of himself. He's living in America at the time. And he's worried that now, 1956, 11 years after the war, he's worried that it's deja vu all over again. He's worried that once again, the Jews are in mortal danger. You have to remember, put yourself into what it was like at that time, surrounded by the Arabs, seek their destruction, and where are we? Chas v'shalom, it can't happen again. It can't happen again. We have to assert ourselves. And the Rambam is the source for a fundamental statement that Rabbi Soloveitchik makes in the name of his father. So let's take a look at the Rambam, and then we'll go to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and then we're going to go to the end of the 20th century. The Rambam says in Ilchas Malachim Perek Hey, Halacha Dalet, Mitzvah Saseh Lahacharim Shiva Amimin. It's a mitzvah to destroy the seven nations. Chiti, Yavusi, Prizi, Girgashi, Chidi, Amori. We have to destroy them. Lahacharim. Shenemar Acharim Tacharimei. V'chol Shebo Liyado Echad Mehen V'lo Arago Over Below Saseh. Not only is it a mitzvah Saseh to kill them, but it's also a mitzvah Lo Saseh to allow them to live. Shenemar Lo Tzachaya Kol Neshama. They have no right to inhabit the face of this earth. None of them. We're obligated to kill them. Concludes the Rambam, Ukvara Vatzichra. They're gone. They're lost. Any memory of them has been already effaced, finished. They're lost. Why are they lost? What happened? Why is it that I don't know anymore today who is a Chiti, Chivi, Yavusi, Girgashi, and Mori? So the Radbaz, in his commentary on the Rambam, quotes from the Mishnah in Yodayim, which I xeroxed at the bottom of the page, Umashe kosav ukvar avad zichram lefisha basancherev ubilbel es ha'olam. You remember there was a king called Sancherev. Sancherev came and wrought a total upheaval in the world. By the time Sancherev was finished, nobody knew anymore who they're related to. Nobody knew what tribe they came from. It was in Gansin Mishkabibel. Ubilbil is called Olam. I don't know anymore what Chiti is. And Emori, there was such an upheaval, everything got lost. So you don't have to worry if you walk down Hempstead Avenue, right? Not street. Hempstead Avenue, you see somebody. You don't recognize them. Excuse me, sir. Are you new in the neighborhood? Yes? Oh, that's so nice. Where are you from? I am an Emori. Sir, I am so sorry that you told me that, because I have to kill you. It's a Beferish Rambam. But you don't have to worry, because it's not going to happen. So you're off the hook. We don't know anymore in Emori. Chivi, Yavusi, Prizi, Girgashi, Kvar, Ovad, Zirchon, finish, it's over. That halacha is not relevant. Next Rambam. Halacha hei v'chein. V'chein. And similarly, mitzvah saseh le'abed zechar amolek. Shenemar timcha zechar amolek. U'mitzvah saseh lizkor tomid ma'asav ha'ra'im ve'arei vaso. I have to remember the terrible things that he did to me. I have to remember how he ambushed me. I have to remember how he was going to destroy me. He wanted to kill me. I have to remember it. Kedei la'orei vasos. I should hate them. So I should not forget about them. I should have very strong feelings about them. Shenemar zochor. Eisa sherasa l'cha amalek. Mipi ha'shmua lamdu zochor b'peh. I have to articulate this memory. And lo sishkach b'lev. I have to remember it inside. I have to feel this memory. I'm not allowed, ever, al tishkach, I can't forget how much I hate them. What's missing at the end of Halacha Hey? What's missing at the end of Halacha Hey? That it's at the end of Halacha Dalet. The same Sancheriv who was Mevalbel Kol HaOlam, and as a result of which, I don't know anymore, Chiti Yavusi Prizi Yirgashi Emori, that same Sancheriv should have been Mevalbel HaMolek. Why does the Rambam not conclude Halacha Hey the way he concludes Halacha Dalet? Why does the Rambam not say, don't worry? You walk out Hempstead Avenue. Oh, you're new in the neighborhood. That's wonderful. Welcome. Where are you from? I'm an Amaleki. I'm a Gevar Finster in the Eiden Nebel. You're an Amaleki. Oh my God. That can happen. That could happen, and you're in trouble. Because if it's an Amaleki, you gotta hate him, you gotta rub him out, you gotta destroy him. You can't forget him. Geferloch. Here you thought, a new member for the shul. The welcome wagon is going to come. The sisterhood is going to send a package. Forget about it. Forget about it. That could happen. Frekzach the kasha, why doesn't the Rambam conclude halacha hey like he concludes halacha da? Which brings us to page 3. The top of page 3, I Xeroxed from an English translation by Lawrence Kaplan of this talk that Rabbi Soloveitchik gave. Top, turn the page sideways. Divine providence is testing us once again via the crisis that has overtaken the land of Israel. You know exactly what he's talking about. Let it be clearly stated, the matter does not just affect the political future of the land of Israel. These words could have been written today in 2008. The matter does not just affect the political future of the land of Israel. The designs of the Arabs are directed not just against the political sovereignty of the state of Israel, but against the very existence of the Yishuv in the land of Israel. They wish to destroy Chas V'Shalom, the entire community. Look at the pasuk that the Rav quotes to put into the mouth of the Arabs who seek to destroy us. Men and women, may ish va'adisha, may olel va'adyonek, mishor va'adzeh. 1 Samuel 15:3. The same pasuk that Shmuel tells Shaul, you're obligated to kill Amalek. That's the pasuk that Rabbi Soloveitchik goes to describe in the most extreme way what it is that the Arabs want to do for us. At a Mizrahi convention, I cited the view expressed by my father and master of Meisha of blessed memory that the proclamation, Muhammad Lashem Ba'amalek Midor Dor, does not only translate into the communal exercise of waging obligatory war against a specific race. It's not a race. It's not an ethnic designation. It's not Achbin Aninikal from some Babe and a Zaydi have the same DNA. That's not what we're talking about. But it includes as well the obligation to rise up as a community against any people or group that filled with maniacal hatred directs its enmity against Knesset Yisrael. Who is Amalek? Amalek is not Chivi, Yavusi, Prizi, Girgoshi, Emori. Bilbel, Sancheriv came. I don't know anymore any ethnic designation. But it's not an ethnic designation. It's not an anical. It's not a tribe. It's not a race. What is it? Amalek is an ideology. Amalek is a state of mind. Amalek is not a tribe. When a people emblazons on its banner, L'chu v'nachidei migoy v'lo yizocher shem Yisrael od, it becomes thereby Amalek. You want to destroy Jews? Bistach Amalek. That's it. What do you mean Ukvar Avad Zichram? It's not Ukvar Avad Zichram. Because it's not contingent upon genetics. It's contingent upon hatred. It's contingent upon an ideology. The ideology is alive and well. In the 1930s and 1940s, the Nazis, with Hitler at their head, filled this role. They were the Amalekites, the standard bearers of insane hatred and enmity during the era just passed. Today, their place has been taken over by the mobs of Nasser and the Mufti. if we are silent now as well as we were 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago during the Holocaust, if we are now silent as well, I know not the verdict that will be issued against us by the God of justice. After the word Amalek, there's a footnote. Footnote 25. So if you turn the page on the side, I Xeroxed footnote 25. And what footnote 25 basically says is this diuk in the Rambam. Footnote 25 says, how do you know that anybody who wants to destroy Jews has a halacha of Amalek? How do you know that if you say lechu v'nachidei migoy, you become thereby Amalek? Because the Rambam in halacha hey does not conclude the way the Rambam concludes in halacha dal. Which means that if you want to kill Jews, so you have the status of Amalek. Which means, or which could mean, that there are implications for that. If somebody's Amalek, it's not, oh, Shalom Aleichem, I wanted to invite you to the shul, I can't invite you to the shul. I'm going to send you half a welcome wagon, not a whole welcome wagon. Amalek has implications. Pasuk says you have to destroy Amalek. The Rambam says you have to destroy Amalek. The halacha is you have to destroy Amalek. So in the year 2006, if you look at the front page, I Xeroxed the bibliography. So in 2006, Princeton University Press. So even though I didn't go to Princeton, but all right, it's a good school. It's a good school. And it's a fancy university press, from the Shenstone University Presses. Publishes a book by Professor Eliot Horowitz, who's a professor of Jewish history at Bar-Ilan University. And the name of the book is Reckless Rites, Purim, and the Legacy of Jewish Violence. And Horowitz has a whole book describing the role of Jews being violent against non-Jews, particularly in the context of Purim. Purim is a time when we remember through Haman, when we act out against Haman, when Jews throughout the ages have used the opportunity to express violence against non-Jews. Normally in the Middle Ages, we didn't have the capacity to do that, we didn't have the power, we didn't have an army, but vinish vi megitza chadre megitza chaneitza. We do that, and guess what? We do that in the second half of the 20th century. In the first introductory chapter to this book, Horowitz Tzolostzach, he loses it against what he calls the settlers in Hebron. He is ballistic. He is extremely upset. And in my life, I never read a book published by a fancy university press which is so the opposite of objective, academic, scholarly, genteel. He goes after the settlers, betachlis power, strength, very upset. And then he gets it out of his system, and then the rest of the book is what you would expect. He's a very formidable historian, Professor Horowitz. He's one of the best. He had something in the Kishkis and he unloaded it in the beginning of this book. I read the book. I was shocked by the beginning of the book. I never saw such a thing. And I'm waiting for a book reviews. I was actually tempted to write something. I didn't. So Godot Gehofel, number of book reviews, the Jerusalem Report in July of 2006 publishes a book review. How book reviews go, it was mit chesed. You know, when you're the author, you're always much more sensitive than when you're not the author. So I'm not the author. I read it, but I thought it was a fair book review. But I knew there was a few little shtachalachs against Horowitz, and I knew that Horowitz isn't going to sit there, shah still, and let the book review go. So the next week, I look for a letter to the editor from Horowitz to respond to the book review. My big yesod always is, it's not the article where it really gets interesting. It's in the letter to the editor responding to the article. That's where it gets interesting. The article is a hechetimtza for the leibedik. The leibedik happens later. Got that call from 2 weeks later, there's Horowitz. And you have Horowitz now responding to the book review by Kalman Newman 2 weeks earlier of his book. Now, I'm not interested in the whole arichas of Horowitz's letter. I'm interested in the end of Horowitz's letter. Because here he says something that he does not say in the book. In the book, it's a habisala eingehalten. In the letter to the editor, it all comes out. And this sentence we need to understand, because in this sentence lies the implications of the power of the definition of Amalek in the year 2008. This is not ancient history, this is what's going on right now. So he has a whole letter, I want to go, he talks in the last paragraph. After 1981 and 1986, there was a whole parade on Purim. Jewish settlers go through Hebron carrying puppets, including Haman. When they come to Beit Romano, one of the settlers, as reported by Haaretz, places a keffiyeh on the hanging effigy of Haman. Local Arabs, who by then clearly understood what this meant, if you put a keffiyeh on Haman, so there has implications, and the Arabs knew, took offense, and a representative of the military government demanded that the keffiyeh be removed. It is not unlikely that Goldstein, you remember Baruch Goldstein? Baruch Goldstein, Purim, 1994, Purim, 1994. Talk about Purim violence. He talks about Goldstein in his introduction to Horowitz does. This is a prime modern example of the violence of Jews perpetrated against non-Jews on Purim. It is not unlikely that Goldstein, who moved from the United States to Kiryat Arba in 1983, participated in this parade. That comes the last sentence. I felt like a dagger pierced my heart. It is even more likely that sometime before 1994, Goldstein, who was a graduate of Yeshiva University, read Kol Dodi Dofake, sincerely yours, Professor Elliot Horowitz. What is he doing here? He's drawing a direct line from Rabbi Soloveitchik's 1956 talk, where the Rav posits, based on a diuk in the Rambam, that Amalek is not ethnic, but Amalek is ideological. A direct line from that statement of Rabbi Soloveitchik to the murder, to the massacre of 27, 29 Arabs in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah on Purim in 1994. Which means that defining Amalek is not an academic exercise. That defining Amalek is not some kind of a sit in the library, and then the darshan, the madrate, and you do research. Defining Amalek is real. Because defining Amalek has massive, massive implications. Amalek is not just Amazai. Amalek is real. On the right-hand side, let's skip the right-hand side. You'll read it on your own. Next page. Jeffrey Goldberg, op-ed. Thursday, New York Times, August 5th, 2004. You have to be medayik in the op-ed. Jeffrey Goldberg, who writes for the New Yorker, after the article appeared here in the op-ed, Goldberg got to spray. He wrote a long article in the New Yorker on this subject. Ofra, the West Bank, that's where he's writing. In the third paragraph, I'm sorry it's so small, sixth line, third paragraph. I fell into conversation with an acquaintance of mine. He's in Ofra. A woman named Ayelet, who is in her late teens, pregnant, the daughter of a former assistant professor of history at City College. She's a resident of an outpost in the radical settler heartland near Nablus. We were interrupted by the newborn's father, a goat farmer. He began to give a Dvar Torah. In case you don't know what a Dvar Torah is, it means an interpretation of a Bible passage. He turned rather quickly to the threat posed by the Amalekites, the eternal enemy of the Jews. Next paragraph. Amalek, in the language of the settler hardcore today, often stands for the Arabs, the existential enemy of the Jews. I am looking at our life today and what Amalek wants, Belashen Heve, what Amalek wants to do is swallow up the people of Israel, the father said. This is the snake. This is the snake. I turned to Ayelet. She wore a long skirt. Her hair was covered. She carried an M16. She's pregnant in her late teens. I asked her if she thought Amalek was alive today. Of course, she said, and pointed out the door toward an Arab village in the distance. The Amalekite spirit is everywhere. It's not just the Arabs. Who else then? Quote, Sharon isn't Amalek, she said. Tutmar HaTayva, Sharon is not Amalek, but he works for Amalek. These words kill. Words kill. Now, I bichlal don't want to get into a political conversation. That's the last thing in the world that I want to do. I think that what Goldstein did was totally reprehensible. I just have to say that. You agree, you disagree. But you need to understand that there's somebody out there who is saying that Goldstein comes from Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Zitut Maratova, that Sharon is not Amalek. Because if Sharon is Amalek, so we have the same stuff that Rabin had. What do you mean Amalek? He killed him. Finished. This is a huge issue. Wherever you land on the political question of Yechevron, Nishchevron, wherever you land, the issue of identifying Amalek is front and center. Particularly in the context now of Moitzoi, Shushan, Purim, Kotel. There are two more issues that I want to deal with here with you. And I have just another few minutes. You'll take the sheets home. If you're interested, you'll work on it on your own. The second issue that I just want to mention is an issue that Jews had to deal with in the Middle Ages. And Horowitz has a whole chapter in his book trying to struggle with this conundrum. In the Middle Ages, the Jews felt that they were living with their hands tied behind their backs. The Jews knew exactly who Amalek was in the Middle Ages. Certainly the Jews living under Christendom. For them, Amalek was Christianity. Because we saw the pasuk that Edom is Esav, and Esav has an enikol Amalek, and Edom equal Christianity. In medieval Europe, Edom equal Christianity, so Edom is Amalek. There's a biblical identity of Edom and Amalek that means that Christianity is Amalek, which means that I have to do something about it. But what can I do, Nebuch? Ich lig in dred, Nebuch, in the Middle Ages. I don't have an army, I don't have power, I don't have money, I don't have anything. I'm living at the mercy of the goyim who let me live in their land. And if they want me to leave, I have to leave. If they want me to pay taxes up a wazoo, I have to pay taxes up a wazoo. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the Anti-Defamation League and say, but it's not fair. It's a democracy, vs. haste, discrimination. What are you talking about? That's la-la land in the Middle Ages. The Jews live when the goyim let them live. The goyim said, live, live. The goyim said, leave, leave, finish. So the Jews never, in the Middle Ages, they want to do the right thing, but I can't. My hands are tied. So how am I going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek when I want and I know and selik me mamish right under my nose, but I can't do anything about it never. So the Rishonim worked out a whole mahalo. And I'll just show you at the bottom of the next page, the Heliger Ramban. The Ramban establishes a basic yisoid that the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek applies only when there's a melech b'Yisrael. If there's a melech b'Yisrael at the bottom of page 6, then there's a mitzvah Mechiyas Amalek. Kolzman, there is no melech b'Yisrael. Never. What should I do? I'm living in an imperfect existence. So there is no mitzvah of Amalek. And there were many other approaches, I Xerox 5 of them, to answer this question, which brings me to the last point. And the last point, some people are more offended, some people are less offended. For some people it's more of an issue, for some people it's less of an issue. It's an issue that was addressed by Professor Avi Sagi, which is the second entry on page one. It's an article that appeared in 1994. That was a big year for Amalek in 1994. In the Harvard Theological Review, Avi Sagi, The Punishment of Amalek in Jewish Tradition, Coping with the Moral Problem. There's a moral problem. What do you want, Nebuch, from the Olel and the Yonek? What do you want from the Shor and the Seh? What did the Seh do? Hashepsala, Aziz, Knippen, Bekeldik, Hashepsala. So sweet, so nice, a little Babela, Nebuch. A little Babela, 5 days old, 20 days old. What do I have to kill the baby for? What do I have to kill the animal for? What did the baby do? I thought my Torah is a loving Torah. I thought my God is an embracing God, a sweet God, a moral God. How do I make sense of this? It doesn't seem to fit in the context of what I understand my religion to be and what makes me so proud about what my religion is. If you look in the next page, the Gemara in Yuma Chav Beis, would appear from the Gemara in Yuma Chav Beis that Shaul himself asked this question. And it goes back to a phrase that I mentioned at the beginning when we learned the psukim in Shmuel Aleph. Vayarev banochal. You remember Pasuk Hey? I read it and I simply interpreted it as, I translated it as, and they had a fight, they had a battle in the valley. Zot Eilig Gemara, Yumachov Beis Amid Beis, the end of the second line, Vayarev banochal, in the middle of the right hand side of the next page. Omar Ravmani, what is Banochal al Iske Nachal? They had a disagreement with regard to something that relates to Nachal. What comes to your mind? What association do you have when you think about Nachal? Bishah Sha'amar Layakadosh Baruch Hu L'Shaul. Leich V'Ikisa Es Amalek, when God came to Shaul and said, destroy Amalek, Omar. So Shaul says, Uma nefesh achas, when it comes to one human life, and the human life Nebuch is killed, and the human life Nebuch is lying there, the human body, we don't know, v'lo no da mihi kohu. So what does the Torah say in Devarim? You have to go, you have to measure the closest city, and the ziknei ho'ir have to come, and have to say, Yodeinu lo shavchu es adam hazeh, ve'einenu lo ra'u, kaper l'amcha Yisrael. You have to bring an egla arufa by the nachal. Zot Shaul, says the Gemara. When it comes to one life, look at the lengths to which we have to go. Amra Torah havei egla arufa. So kol ha'nefashos halol ha'alachas kama v'kama. So if that's the case, lots of lives, many lives, all their lives. Kal v'chomer. V'im adam chata behema machata. What do you want from the behema? Says Shaul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This question is raised by Shaul according to the Gemara in Yuma Chav Beis Amid Beis. What's different from the behema? V'im gedolim chatu kitanim machatu. A babela. Zis babela. What do you want from the babela? Gedola Mela, the antisemitin. The baby, what did the baby do? Yotza Basko v'omro, al tehi tzadik harbe. It's a fascinating gemara. Al tehi, don't be such a big tzadik. I'm telling you what to do. You got to do what you have to do. And I leave you with trying to figure out what this means. Is this an answer? He's not explaining to Shaul and responding to Shaul at the level in which Shaul asked the question. Shaul says, explain it to me. What's the answer? Don't be so moral. Don't be such a frumi on my cheshbet. Al ti tzadik harbe. That's it. You have to do what I tell you to do. But many people are left with the kasha. So there's a long article, and I Xerox 5-6 different approaches. I'll read one to you. To try to somehow explain this obligation to be in consonance with the values that we associate properly and correctly with our extraordinary religion. On the last, next to the last page, Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch and Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiya. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch says the last two pages, which I'm not going to get to, fascinating. Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Rav Nachum Rabinovich, I hope you know the name. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Maale Adumim. Rav Nachum Rabinovich is not known for his left-wing political views. Nebuch Rav Nachum Rabinovich was in serious trouble after the Rabin assassination. They grilled him and grilled him and grilled him and grilled him because they wanted to draw a line from Rav Nachum Rabinovich to Yigal Amir. So he was in a big state of tension at that time. Rav Nachum Rabinovich has two pages at the end, totally disagreeing with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and Rabbi Soloveitchik's statement that Amalek is an ideology. He disagrees. He says it's not true. He says it's agadita. It has no halachic basis. It's wrong. Forget about it. So it's interesting how Rav Nachum Rabinovich, who has very strong right-wing ideologies politically, takes issue with a statement which on the face of it would appear to be usable by the right-wing political ideology. Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was not a right-wing, that's an understatement, the right-wing political ideology, is now used to justify one of the most grievous and horrific events that I can imagine. So it's Olam Hafach here, L'Kavod Purim. It's fascinating. It's not Pashit. It doesn't always fall on straightforward lines. Those are the last two pages. If you look at it, I want to leave you with Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel on the page right before that. Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel was the chief rabbi of Antwerp. And then in 1935, became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He had a wonderful daughter. His daughter was Mrs. Gitti Stern, who was married to Max Stern. Zichroinam Levracha. Gitti Stern was the daughter of Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel. And Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel writes in Droshos Elami, Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShamayim, in the middle of page 8 or 9, I don't remember what page number it is, what is it that really bothers us? He says, V'gam ba'amalek madgeshes ha-Torah be'ikeres ha-Zecher Amalek. It's not the people, and it's not the tribe, and it's not individuals, and it's not human lives, but it's the memory of Amalek. Mashe na'ase ha-Amalekus le-Zecher. Amalek-hood. I just made up a word. Amalek dumb. That's what the issue says Rav Amiel, that Amalekhood, the values of Amalek become kultura, become an ideal ne'etzal, become a ra'ayon niskav, become a chachma ila'a, ve'etzecher Amalek ze mitzvah aleinu limchos. So he wants to take it away from a pshat. The simple interpretation is not to kill Amalek. He wants to put it in the realm of an ideology, and the point being here to try to figure out a way how to make this more comfortable for us from a moral and an ethical perspective. So these are the three points that I wanted to make. Point number one, halacha lemaisa, Amalek is relevant. Amalek is burning in the year 2008. Point number two, how did the Jews in the Middle Ages deal with this if, after all, they wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, they knew Amalek was, but they couldn't? And point number three is Avi Sagi's article to try to grapple with the moral and ethical implications of what, on the face of it, can potentially appear to be a problematic mitzvah. As we now move away from Mitzvah Shushan Purim Katan, Adar Rishon, and we're going to move to Adar Sheni, we're going to come to the Emes HaPurim, and then we're going to come to the Chag HaGeula of Pesach. We should be Zoicha that whatever should happen, and that the Kisei and the Shem should be Shalem, and we should be Zoicha that the Jewish people and the State of Israel should be able to live in peace and security for many, 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 many years to come. Have a wonderful Erev Shabbos, and thank